All right, I will now call the meeting to order. Welcome to the September 18th, 2024 Street Youth Staff Commission virtual meeting. We're going to cover a few basic items before beginning. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. To members and city staff, members, if you are able, hold on, let me let people in here. Please activate your video and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you are able, please activate your video when you are speaking. The chair and committee staff are responsible for muting and unmuting committee members. Use the raise hand feature when you would like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. During any roll call, all panelists will be unmuted briefly. Staff, click raise hand when you are asked a question. The chair will do their best to call on committee members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. The clerk will tell you when your time is up. After speaking, a member of the body may ask you a question. Please do not use your video. If you turn your video on, it will be shut off. Now we'll do roll call. Members of the committee, please unmute yourselves and say present when your name is called. Amy O'Rourke, parking.
Present.
Amy's present. Scott Bussey, is it?
Yep, that's correct.
Bussey.
Present.
Yay. From Streets, Scott is present. Jen Blair with Fire.
Present.
Jen's present. Lieutenant Hannah, MPD.
Present.
Jen's present. Megan Blakehorst, vending.
Present.
Megan's present. Marquis O'Mall, crew.
Present.
Mark is present. Jeremy Nash, traffic engineering.
Present.
Jeremy's present. Tim Sabota, Metro.
Present.
Tim is present. Julie Austin Risk.
Present.
Julie's present. And that is all the members. We do have a quorum. In a virtual meeting like this, it's particularly important we carefully follow Robert's Rules of Order. Therefore, please do not speak until you have raised your hand and been recognized by the chair. The chair will ask for a motion and a second for each agenda item unless it is noticed for discussion only. Any member wishing to join the debate or move an amendment will also have to raise their hand to be recognized by the chair. Similarly, if you have some other matter to bring to the attention of the chair, such as a point of order or request for information, please use the raise hand function. Approval of minutes. I was not able to complete the minutes, so we have no minutes to approve today. Public comment, agenda item, legislative ID 85194 is public comment, and we have no public comment for items that are not on the agenda. Disclosures and recusals. Members of the body should make any required disclosures or recusals under the city's ethics code. Members, please use the raise hand function if you have any disclosures or recusals on any agenda items. All right, we have no disclosures or recusals today. Agenda item number two, legislative ID 85059, street use permit application for Shred and Shop. We do not have any registered speakers for this item, and we do not have a complete application. And the communication has been lacking. So can I have a motion and a second to refer this to a future meeting once planning is complete? Motion, Megan. Second, Jen Blair. On the motion to refer, is there any objection to recording the unanimous vote? All right, we are referring that item. Obviously, they'd have to change their date because it's the original request is 3 days. But agenda item three, legislative ID 85188, street use permit application for the West High School Homecoming Parade. We have one registered speaker for this item. Katie Medema has registered in support, does not wish to speak, but is available to answer questions. Can we have a motion and a second to approve this for discussion and voting? Motion, Amy. Second, Megan. All right. So good morning, Katie. Yep, you are here. Thanks for joining us. This is the annual West High Homecoming Parade request. This year, the request is for Wednesday. I think the schools are off on that Thursday, Friday, so you must be having your homecoming game on a Wednesday. Is that true, Katie?
We're having our homecoming parade on that Wednesday. Our homecoming football game is on that Saturday.
Oh, interesting.
So, yes.
Okay. And other than a Wednesday And then I think you also indicated that the start time will be a little different, but otherwise the route and all the requests are exactly the same.
Yes, yeah, the start time is now going to be at 2 o'clock.
Okay. And first of all, can I have to ask you to turn your camera off? It's just
Oh, okay.
legal, sorry, legal public reasons, public meeting reasons. And then, so if it starts at 2, let's see, the parade itself starts at 2,
Yeah.
so it'll be over by 2:45 at the latest, or
Yeah, it should
usually.
be.
Yeah. Okay. All right, well then I don't have any further questions, so we'll just go through each agency. You are good with your certificate of insurance. Let's see, Jen with fire.
I have no questions or concerns at this time. Thank you.
All right. Jeremy, traffic engineering.
Yeah, just a couple quick things. I believe in previous years you've picked up barricades from us. Are you planning on doing the same this year?
Yeah.
Awesome, sounds good. And then looking at your event, your site plan, I was just curious. It looked like there was a little bit that kind of stuck out to Regent Street. I just want to verify that that's you're not actually going to be doing anything that sticks out into Regent Street.
No, we're not going out onto Regent Street. We're
Awesome.
gonna barricade off right at Ash and Regent.
Perfect. In that case, you should be good to go. Thanks.
Right, I'm just gonna share the map while we talk about it. Because I think, okay, yeah, the map is very nice and clear. Thank you for that. So the staging area is Lathrop and Chadbourne. So these streets will be barricaded. Is that correct? Or these sections?
Yes.
Okay.
Then we'll
Then
also be barricading, like, so nobody can go on to Ash as well. So we'll barricade at Ash and Van Hise and Ash and
okay.
Reed. So, like, we're barricading down the parade route as well.
Okay.
Kelly, are you trying to share your screen?
I am. Oh,
You're
hey.
not sharing it.
Thank you. I had one more button to push. Can you see it now? Thank you. Okay, so yeah, the slashes is the staging where they're barricading. Also barricading at Van Nuys and Ash and Regent and Ash. The parade itself is Spooner. Starts at Spooner on Chadbourne and goes north on Ash to Van Nuys, and then this is where it dissolves. Okay, and the vehicles go this way, pedestrians go this way. Okay.
Correct.
Perfect. Okay, so sorry, let me get my script up and move it over here. Okay, so next we have Lieutenant Hannah MPD.
No questions or concerns.
Okay. Is there staffing for this? I think there may have been in the past.
Yeah, I
It's been a while.
requested through Emily Hardiman.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you. Okay, and we'll have you call parking to get the no parking signs, and they'll explain when to post them, when to pick them up, and how to call those in for enforcement. All right, let's go with Tim with Metro.
No questions or concerns for Metro Transit.
All right. And I don't think it'll impact other agencies. Does anyone else have any questions? All right, I will share the draft permit. Once I find where I put that. All right, this is the street use draft permit for the Madison West High School homecoming parade on Wednesday, October 2nd. I'll update the time. So the start time is 2 p.m. And time will be 2:45. And then the takedown barricades and no parking signs will be removed by 3:45. Is the staging still going to start at 12:30, Katie, or a little earlier?
Parade staging is actually going to begin at, I guess we could say 1 o'clock, not 12:30. Okay.
So that's when the roads will officially be. Okay, perfect. All right, so we have indemnification for the city. We ask you notify your area alder. We'll ask you notify residents on Chadbourne and any closed roads. Special duty officers, we'll have you call Emily. Sounds like you already did that. We'll have you call Sail Street Garage to pick up your barricades. We'll have you call parking to get you no parking signs. No objects may be thrown from the vehicles. Any items to be distributed during the parade must be handed to attendees. Noise must be kept to a reasonable level. 20-foot emergency access lane must be maintained through the streets. ADA accessible pathway must be maintained on sidewalks. No inflatables on right of way. No permanent markings. And you're required to clean up. All right. Any further discussion on the West High Homecoming Parade? On the motion to approve, is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote on item number 3? All right, seeing none, the motion passes. Thanks, Katie.
Thank you.
Let's see. Agenda item number 4, legislative ID 85189, street use permit application for Rock Out at Boulders. We have one registered speaker for this item. Max Bevens has registered in support, does not wish to speak, but is available to answer questions. Can we have a motion and a second to approve this for voting and discussion? Motion, Megan. Second, Jeremy. Good morning, Max. So this is the second year of a similar request. And I believe this is like customer appreciation type event. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yep.
Okay. And so the request is to close the 100 block of South Carroll. And can you explain, it looks like two food carts will be there. Is there any other setup on the block?
Just two food carts.
Okay. And the closure is just for public safety as they're getting their food or?
That's correct. And to ensure that they have ample space as well.
Okay. And the food carts, are they going to be selling or are you guys prepaying like a catering situation?
They'll be selling.
Okay. Okay, so there is vending. Oops. I'm going to share the map as we talk about it. And the request is, let's see, the 19th of October is a Saturday. In the evening. So the request is to close the street at 6:30. The event is 7 to 10:30 and cleanup is 11. Also you'll be serving beer or wine. Is that all inside?
That's all inside. Yep. And we just got approved for, a temporary bee picnic license, I think.
Yep. Perfect. Okay. That is good. So you have a plan in place to ensure that drinks are not in the street. No one's taking them outside.
We do. Yep.
Okay, perfect. And then two food carts. Do you know which food carts at this point are going to participate?
I do not recall the names here. I could find them for you in a pinch here if needed.
No, that's fine. We can talk about it offline with Megan, and we just want to ensure they have their public health licensing.
Okay.
But she can talk more on that. Okay, so I'm almost to the map here. Let me share my screen. All right, so the event is inside Boulder's Gym. The request is to close North Carroll to have a couple food carts. And I guess, okay, so they can park So you're requesting they park adjacent to the sidewalk, and that's why the closure, so we can still maintain 20-foot access through there. Okay. So we'll just go through each agency and see what questions or thoughts we have. So Julie with risk.
It looks like this one we will need a certificate for, and we don't have one on file quite yet.
Okay. And Max, do you have that information, what you need for that, or would you like me to send that to you?
If you could send it over, that'd be good. Is this a COI listing additional insured type thing?
Exactly.
Okay, cool. I can get that for you.
Okay. Jen with fire.
No questions or concerns. Thank you.
All right. Lieutenant Hannah, MPD?
No questions or concerns. Thank you.
Jeremy, traffic engineering.
Hey, can you refresh my memory? Did you pick up barricades last year for this event?
I did in the past, yep.
Awesome. Is that, would you like to do the same for this year?
Certainly can do that.
Sounds good. I should be good to go. Thanks.
All right. Parking. I'm going to ask Amy comment on this. I think we'll need to relocate some handicap stalls. But Amy, any thoughts or questions?
Yeah, if you can just call parking division. You know, don't wait until the last minute, but they may need to relocate a couple of disabled stalls. But just get your signs. I assume you want to post the meters and have no parking in there. So you'll want to post those in advance, but get a hold of parking division at least 48 hours in advance.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
All right. I don't think it'll affect any. Let's see, Megan.
Go ahead, defending. Yeah. Kelly, I was just trying to pull up the special event resolution. From that, for them having food carts, they would need to be on the special event resolution. Is that correct? In order for them to have vending, which is different than catering, within the mall concourse, because this is still within the mall concourse vending area, as far as I'm aware.
Huh. How did we do this last year?
I'm not remembering the food cart part from last year. But I could have missed that meeting, or I could have just not been thinking clearly, but
I know.
And then because this is where Canteen is also, and we do, they are part of the mall concourse within Canteen for their sidewalk cafe. And I'm also questioning the grade of that section and the 20-foot emergency access lane. If the food carts are on the Boulders side of the street, so their service windows would be on the side, like facing the sidewalk, and I'm just trying to gather that stuff, but that is just my first question, and I'm just pulling up the mall concourse vending map just to make sure that I'm right. I've been juggling lots of different things, so let me just open this really quick just to make sure that I am not missing anything as it relates to North and South Carroll. Yeah, no, it goes all the way down to Wilson, the mall concourse vending area within that area.
Did we approve vending last year at this? Did you have food carts selling?
We did, yeah. We had one food cart the last time that we did this.
Okay. So what Megan's talking about, I think we might have missed it last year. And this year until now, is there any downtown event with a street use permit or any permit that wants to have vending? It has to be on the special event resolution, which goes through it goes through a couple different committees, Common Council, Vending Oversight Committee, and then back to Common Council. So it's kind of a process. So I guess we would have to try to get it through there. I'm not sure. I'm assuming that October 19th is a important date, or are you flexible with the date at all? I know it starts to get a little colder.
Yeah, we'll need to stick with the date if at all possible. I mean, we would scrap food carts prior to changing the date here, just because we have some musicians that are booked to play inside on that day.
Okay. Okay. So Yeah, I think Megan and I'll need to talk about if we can get this LaRue in time. So that piece might need to be determined. I guess if food carts cannot be approved, would the request to close the street still be needed?
I don't think we would need that. Would another workaround potentially be if we prepaid the food carts, would that become a catering thing versus a vending thing?
Yes. Right, Mike?
Okay.
Yeah, it's the so in my world, vending is sales to individuals. Catering is one bulk order that you predetermine a payment structure and you pay them accordingly. But there's no cash transactions, and that they couldn't sell to the public. They could only sell to people, but they could only give food to the people that are at your event.
Okay.
And
That
that
makes sense.
still brings the question though about the width of that street and to ensure, you know, and it would also depend, like a food cart versus a full-size food truck takes up a different amount of space. And that's why it's, I think, going to Kelly's question, who are the food carts that you've worked with? That might be able to help us. If they're both mall licensed food vendors, maybe we could work out something and just relocate them potentially. I'm not saying yes, but there could be some workarounds if we knew who they were.
Okay, that sounds good. And I also think that one of them mentioned like a tent being set up and serving out of a tent, which might give more space potentially.
That's actually not, that's in my world, you wouldn't be allowed to do that unless it's a special event. This would make it a special event, but that would tell me that they are not a city licensed food cart and they most likely are not on the mall concourse as a regular vendor
Got it.
because they wouldn't want to use a tent. They'd want to use their mobile unit. But
Okay.
that definitely has a few red flags for me from a tent perspective.
Okay, so it looks like I need to get you the information of exactly which vendors these are, first step.
That'll be helpful. Jeremy, can you check the width of that there and see what we have to work with?
I just pulled it up on Jeremy,
Okay.
I think that's awesome, but I just wanted to mention that I just pulled it up on Street View and it's really narrow at the crosswalk and kind of goes out to the parking. That's what made me question that because it's a relatively new design of that street.
I'm getting 22 feet from it without excluding the parking stalls, the curb to curb kind of at the entrance to it. I'm getting 22 feet.
And Canteen Sidewalk Cafe comes down pretty far to that. There's a driveway on the opposite side of Boulders, I think, or like they take up like 7 or 8 parking stalls, and their cafe goes down pretty far. But I can't remember exactly how many stalls, but I think it's 7.
The 7 closest to Doty.
Yeah, sorry, I got my streets all messed up. Yeah, closer to Doty. From the top down.
Well, if we can approve the vending, could they move down this way a little bit if needed to maintain that 20 foot? Okay. Well, so I think how to move forward is we approve the event with the understanding that the vendors will need to be approved by the vending coordinator. So whether that is special event resolution, whether that's mall concourse vending that we're relocating, and then we'll just have to figure out these details. But I think we can kind of pre-approve either option, and just work through those details offline. So, any other agencies have questions or concerns? Okay, I will share the draft permit. Let me see, is it this one? Okay, this one. Some of this will need to be updated. Okay, so this is the draft permit for the Rock Out at Boulders. The request is to close 100 Block of South Carroll from West Doty to South Hamilton on Saturday, October 19th, with the street closure at 6:30, the event 7 to 10:30, and the street reopen at 11. There'd be indemnification for the city. A certificate of insurance is required. We ask that you notify the area alder. We'll ask you notify the Central Business Improvement District. I can remove the Dane County Farmers Market because, oh no, it will still be happening. So we will want you to notify the farmers. Oh no, this is in the evening. Never mind. I'm going to totally take that one off. We do would ask you notify area businesses on South Carroll, provide them with event information and day of contact. We'll have you call Sale Street for the barricades. We'll have you call parking for the no parking signs. Noise must be kept to a reasonable level. 20-foot emergency access lane must be maintained. ADA accessible pathway on sidewalks, no inflatables on city right-of-way, and no permanent markings, and you're required to clean up. So I think we need a second motion and a second to approve this with the street closure with the vending or catering approved, maintaining the 20-foot emergency access lane, which we'll have to work out those details offline. So can I have a motion and a second to approve this with those additional approvals by vending? Motion Megan, second Amy. And the motion to approve, is there any objection to recording unanimous vote? All right, seeing none, the motion passes. Okay, so Bax, we'll just be in touch with all this, Megan and myself, and we'll figure out what's possible.
Thank you, appreciate that.
Okay. All right. Agenda item number 5, legislative ID 85190, street use permit application for Downtown Madison Family Halloween. Let me just double check my registration. We have one registered speaker for this item. Tim Jenquin has registered in support and is available to answer questions. Can I get a motion and a second? To approve this for discussion and voting. Motion Megan. Second Jen. All right. Is Tim here? I see Chris is here. I don't think I see Tim. And Chris, you just registered to watch the meeting. Do you want to?
I can speak.
Okay. I'll have to update the registration, but that's fine. Okay, so you're available to answer questions, or did you want to speak? Okay, perfect. Okay, so this is the annual Downtown Madison Family Halloween. The request is for Wednesday, October 30th. And it's trick-or-treating on the 100 to 600 blocks of State Street, as well as the Capitol Square. And then a movie at the top of State Street on the 100 block. So the request this year is to close 100 to 600 blocks of State Street, keeping the cross streets open for concerns about public safety. So we have been talking a little bit offline. I was talking with Chris about the BRT, the new amount of bus routes on the 200, 300 block of State Street. So Chris, did you have any further thoughts on that before we ask Metro to discuss?
Our preference would be to close all of State Street, just kids with as many kids will be downtown and just for public safety reasons. But if that's not possible, we are definitely willing to like come up with some sort of compromise, but we'd like, if there are other ideas about ensuring pedestrian safety, we'd, appreciate that discussion as well.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to go to Metro and they can describe the impact and any other thoughts or questions. So go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, for Metro Transit, 200, 300 states are primary
streets that are east-west rapid routes do use on a weekday. And those routes did use State Street last year, to my knowledge. And so again, we're looking to just maintain the transit operations on State Street and have the permit issued with the standard guidance that the event stay on the sidewalks and use crosswalks, similar to other events that use the 200, 300 blocks of State Street, with the transit buses using the vehicle travel lanes.
Okay. Can you describe like how many routes would be impacted? So the request would be to close the street from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Those two blocks from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. And I guess the number of routes or maybe
at
a little more.
Least 72 trips, I think.
Okay. And you know, I guess as I've been thinking about this, you know, it's kind of the discussion needs to be, you know, what the public safety versus the impact on public transportation, and you know, kind of what are those numbers and what are we, how does the team feel? So, you know, thinking about like potentially leaving the 200, 300 block open to bus traffic. You know, I guess, well, for sure, I think the 100 block for public safety to the movie, because we have seen that that people have, there's a lot of people at the movie, and so the 100 block is important for public safety. But I guess discussion on potential, you know, closing all of State Street or just keeping those two blocks available to buses. Mike with Metro, go ahead.
Hi, everybody. I hope I can, let me know if I can need to turn off my video. But yeah, you know, we've been thinking about this and, you know, just generally overall from Metro, yeah, our concern is, you know, it's a trade-off between, you know, having people cross the street and then also having people who are trying to use the bus service. And, you know, basically what happens is they go to the bus stop and, you know, they wait for a bus that's never going to come. And, you know, and they sit there. And so we are certainly willing to detour for things that really need the street and use the street. We have a number of large events, events that have been using State Street. And so we have the ability to do that. But, you know, there's certainly some of these kind of gray areas where, you know, some events maybe would be a little bit better in some ways if the bus service wasn't there. But, you know, there are also a lot of people that are just trying to get through their day and get home to their families and get to work and those kinds of things. You know, we took a pretty deep look into this one and, you know, just kind of the nature of the event, not physically using the street, but just, you know, just thinking about people crossing the street, thinking about, you know, if people are walking up and down State Street, they're crossing streets like Johnson Street and Gorham Street. And so they're, you know, they're following the traffic signals and things like that. So I think from our perspective, a more appropriate thing to do would be to just kind of focus on some of those safety improvements, which would be things like educating the trick-or-treaters, the parents, and other event goers on some of the safety tips that people are using around the city as they go trick-or-treating. You know, trick-or-treating does happen all over the city. It is a safety concern all over the city. There are kids walking around, they're wearing masks, it's dark outside, they're crossing streets, they're talking to each other and throwing M&Ms at each other when they really should be watching for traffic and that kind of thing. So we, you know, we understand that. But again, I think our focus is, it should really be on, you know, these two blocks of State Street are really, really important for us. As we've made some changes to the transit network, we've opened up a lot of streets that can be fairly easily closed, including the 400, 500, 600, as well as the 100 block of State Street. and many other streets around the square. So I think our recommendation is to go ahead and, you know, certainly let the event move forward. We're not trying to stop the event in any way, but just allow buses to continue to use the blocks on the 200 and 300 block. And we're certainly willing to detour off of the 100 block. We can do that without affecting any of our passengers at all. So we're happy to do that. So, you know, in consideration of all those things, I think that's our recommendation. So hope the committee is able to weigh the different, you know, different ins and outs of this. And, you know, I'm available for questions, of course. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Okay. Does anyone have, you know, knowing the metro impact, obviously closing the 100 block is fine and, in my opinion, necessary. But like thoughts, and maybe Chris, this is the question for you. Like, if we can't approve to close the 200, 300 block, would you still want to close the 400, 500, 600 block, or would that be even more confusing? I guess that's my concern. Like, if the families are able to be in the street on the 400, 500, 600 block, and then all of a sudden we're saying these two blocks you can't be, you know, what kind of impact that might be? Or
understand the concerns, very, you know, willing to be flexible here. I think you're right, Kelly, that if 100 is closed, and then 4, 5, 6 are also closed as people like make their way to the end of State Street and then turn back around. I'm concerned that like it might read as like a total street closure, and they might not be paying as close attention on 2 and 3. So maybe just closing 100, if we're not going to close 2 and 3, is the way to go. And then we've been talking about one of the, because we do have some activations that we have planned for the 100 block, tables and things like that, for some outdoor events. And so one of the things that we've been discussing is perhaps having like instead of candy at one of the tables on the 100 block, having some like pedestrian safety lights, things like that, that could help with the safety concerns. So I think we'd be comfortable with the 100 block. And if the 2 and 3 aren't going to be closed, maybe it doesn't make sense for 4, 5, and 6.
Okay. Appreciate that. Megan, go ahead.
At this point, I don't think there's been an end time established for the pedestrian mall project. So that could still be active, which would mean that the 400, 500, and 600 would be closed under the traditional pedestrian street hours. Although that's different than, Chris, I know what you and your team do when it comes to barricades and being much more intentional as it relates to like the night market and other things, and different like the Maxwell Street days, those sorts of things are barricaded differently and treated a little differently as their events. But as of today, I just met with Dan and Rebecca regarding the pedestrian mall project, and there isn't an end date set yet. So that could potentially already be closed.
Okay. And I wondered about that too. I reached out to Danny. He gave me two potential end dates that were before this. But again, those are just guesses.
Yeah. We've been having some of those discussions as well. And we also are a little fuzzy on what the exact close date is going to be for the pedestrian mall.
Yep. And I was literally in that meeting right before this one. So that is my real time, is that where there was no date just discussed, and we discussed, you know, traditional dates of alternate side street closing and when sidewalk cafes go away, which is November 15th, there's always the Halloween conversation related to a larger conversation outside of bid events and those sorts of things, and traditional things that have been done to close streets around the Halloween weekend, which is the weekend before, from a celebration extravaganza standpoint. So I don't think that the answer is fully clear yet.
Okay. And I guess let's say it is still happening. I guess it would make sense to not put the extra, if we're not closing the 200, 300 block, to not put the extra barricades and make it more of a obvious closure and just keep it the normal pet experiment. But
That would be my preference.
Yeah. Jeremy, what you got for us?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to mention, after hearing from Metro, I would feel comfortable following their recommendation of keeping those two blocks open. So I just wanted to mention my support for that.
Okay. Thank you. Julie, go ahead.
Yep, we're in the same boat here in risk. Eric and risk management would like to see that open as well. So we would support Metro in that as well.
Okay, thank you. Mark, all crew.
Yeah, I think it makes sense what Metro's suggesting, and being on a Wednesday, I think it makes sense too for closing in on a Wednesday would be kind of odd for people using the bus system.
Okay. Okay, so I guess, Chris, if you would like to us to move forward voting on the application as submitted with the full closure, we can do that, and we'll have to do a roll call vote to see where the majority votes. If you're willing to just do the 100 block, you can let me know that, and that will be more of a a different, I guess, approval process, but it's totally up to you as the applicant.
Yeah, let's move forward with just the 100 block.
Okay, perfect. Okay, then. So let's see. We'll go through each agency. Actually, I'm going to ask for a second, another motion in a second to approve this, with the 100 block being fully closed, and the other blocks being open. So we'll do Tim motion, or are you making motion, Tim? Are you?
Yes, I'd like to make the motion to amend the permit to close just the 100 block.
Mm-hmm. And second, Amy. Okay, thank you. Okay, so risk. We do need a renewal by this date. You guys are great about getting that in, so I'm not too concerned. And so we'll just need that before we can actually issue the permit. Let's see, fire, Jen with fire.
I don't have anything at this time.
Okay, thanks. Jeremy, traffic engineering.
Oh, yeah. I believe last year we dropped off barricades. Do you need barricades again for this year for the 100 block closure?
Yes.
And would you like those dropped off or picked up? Would you like people come from our Sales Street facility?
Dropped off.
Okay.
There that's will be what we did last year.
Yeah, there's a few with that, as long as you're okay with that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, thanks.
Megan, go ahead.
Jeremy, there's already barricades there for the Saturday Y closure that they don't leave. And so they're always at Wisconsin. So if you're closing the 100 block, there's our barricades at the bottom of the 100 block, and then there's barricades at Wisconsin. Just FYI, although we use them for Saturdays, and sometimes they get moved around for other events. And then there's barricades at the top of at Wisconsin and Wisconsin and Mifflin and West Wash and Carroll. And then at the bottom of State Street, there's two barricades already in place. Just FYI.
No, that's good to be aware of. And in that case, we might not need to drop off barricades. So we should be set there. But I'll double check on that, Chris, just to be sure. I'm going to reach out to you if we do need to drop off barricades for that.
Okay, thank you.
Perfect. Lieutenant Hannah, MPD?
No questions or concerns.
Okay, you will not need any parking. Tim with Metro, any further discussion?
No, I appreciate the discussion on this, and Metro will take the added information in the permit, specifically the overture events that will be in that building, and work to get that for our operations staff, similar to when there's concerts at the Orpheum on State Street, where there's big events. So thank you.
Okay. And this will be on the permit, but the request for the 100 block was the closure would be 3 p.m. to 8:30. Is that right, Chris?
That's right.
Okay.
And actually, if I can just confirm, this is going to be similar to Mad Lit, which is only closing the 100 block, but vehicular traffic would still be maintained on Mifflin Street. I guess that'd be West Mifflin Street left to North Carroll towards West Washington. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. There might be another permit request in conjunction with this from the Parks Division. I think we usually do a hayride on this date around the square, but that's just for parking. So just your FYI. Okay, Megan, anything further?
No, because there's no vending, at least on the application. Sounds like, Chris, the infrastructure is going to be more informative, that kind of thing. Doesn't look like you're bringing in any vendors or anything.
No vendors.
And I'm assuming that all sidewalk cafes would be able to operate as they normally do within the area.
Correct.
Okay. I guess with that, I don't have any other questions, and nothing else is coming to mind on that time. And you guys are aware of the fencing and all of the other infrastructure pieces that are up. So,
oh, yeah.
All right. Okay. Anybody else have questions or thoughts? Okay. I'm not going to share the draft permit because I have to change it. So, but you'll all see it before it's issued. So on the motion to approve the amended application with the closure of the 100 block of State Street only, is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote on item number 5? All right, seeing none, the motion passes. Thanks, Chris. All right, agenda item 6, legislative ID 85191, street use permit application for Madison Marathon. We have, let me double check my registration. All right, we have 2 registered speakers for this. Ryan Richards has registered in support and does wish to speak. Sarah Clemmy has registered in support, does not wish to speak, but is available to answer questions. Can I have a motion and a second to approve this for discussion and voting? Motion, Jen. Second, Tim. All right. Morning, Ryan and Sarah. Thanks for joining us. Ryan, you have registered to speak, so you can begin when you're ready.
Yeah, I guess it's just more to answer questions and be a part of the discussion as we move forward.
Okay, sounds good. So I guess my questions are, I know you've been meeting with the transportation team. Is the route maps, are they up to date with what I have? I guess is my first question. Okay, so everything that was applied for is what was discussed with the transportation team.
Yes, I'm okay. I'm nodding, but you can't see me.
Perfect. Okay, so I'm going to share my screen just so we all know what we're talking about at the same time. So the setup is on the Capitol Square. This is Sunday, November 10th. So the square will be closed, the 100 block of East Washington, and then kind of the tops of the other sections, with the exception of South Carroll, to maintain Park Hotel access. Let's see what else. And the medical tent is on 100 MLK. The 200 block MLK is also requested to be closed for event vehicles. And then we'll get to the routes. Okay. Can you describe any changes from last year's routes to this year?
The biggest change is going around Lake Monona only for the full marathon, and obviously being later in the race. Last year the Lake Monona loop was roughly the first 11 miles, and then we went north through Maple Bluff. This year we're not doing that. So right now the routes proposed start and finish on the square, go towards go use John Nolan Drive or a couple lane, or one lane of John Nolan Drive, and then through the Arboretum first, the half and the full marathon share the first basically 13 miles, and then the both events will come back onto the square, and then the full marathon will continue and do the Lake Monona loop, finishing up on the square as well.
And what are the start times for both?
The half and full marathon will start at 7 a.m. and the 10K will start approximately 7:15.
All right.
That's the 10K map. This is it's a little hard map. To see the red and white line, but.
Oh, okay.
Utilizes all, you know, basically all the same routes, except it does use the road around Brittingham Bay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I guess I don't have any other specific questions, so I'll just go through each agency. Julia with RISC.
Yep, we do have the certificate for this one, so we're good to go.
All right, thank you. Jen with FIRE.
Just two things quick, just ensure that you get in the tent notification, because the tent's over the 400 square feet, and that the vendor has a license. And then also, have you been in touch with Chief Crossan in regards to services for Madison Fire that are needed?
I have not specifically, but I believe our medical staff from SSM has been working with him.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you. And
I'll follow up on that regardless.
Okay, and I can email you that application that's needed for the tent as well.
Okay.
All right. Jeremy, Traffic Engineering?
No questions or concerns.
Okay. Lieutenant Hannah MPD?
No questions or concerns.
And is this the special event staffing?
It is special event, yes.
Right. Amy with parking.
I believe that we post this for you, and if that is the case, then you can work with Taylor Dietzman offline and get that all taken care of.
Yep.
Perfect. Let's see. Tim with Metro.
Just to summarize for Metro Transit, I think the biggest traffic impacts that we are anticipating is with all the runners starting on the square, generally heading west on Main Street, the block below West Washington, that there will need to be police traffic control at South Fairchild crossing West Main Street as those runners leave the square, on South Broom Street crossing West Main Street, on South Bassett Street crossing West Main Street. The race then continues. There is a single bus route on Olin Avenue where the route crosses on Gilson. And then the other big one is the both events will be crossing US Highway 151 Park Street at grade in the Cedar Street vicinity. So just watching for that.
All right. Megan.
And Lieutenant Hannah. Oh. Had raised their hand. I don't know if they had.
Yeah. Go ahead, Lieutenant Hannah.
Observation. Hey,
Tim, can you send what you just said in an email to me so we've got that covered?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think, again, it's just both for transit service that would be on the South Fairchild, South Broome, South Bassett, and the Park Street corridor, but also general traffic. What I've got, I can send. And I've got that Remix platform. If I send that to you, and then Ryan, if I update that to you as well, that link, if that's helpful.
Sure.
All right, thanks.
Okay, Megan,
Bendy. Yeah,
So I see it's on the special event resolution and they have vending on their application, which seems fine. But Ryan and team, my question is really about your infrastructure setup, that map right there, Kelly, because the 9th is the last DCFM market of the year. So that also means they'll pretty much the last of the art and craft vendors and food carts that are around the square on a Saturday. I notice on the special event resolution says everyone can set up as usual till 3, but you have toilets where we potentially have vendors or there's a new BRT station that might be in your way, and some other things. So can you give me more detail about your infrastructure setup timeline? Because on the application, it says the 9th starting at 8 a.m.
So it's the 100 and 200 blocks of Martin Luther King and the 100 block of East Washington, and then everything else is after the farmer's market is complete.
And the okay. Menu.
So everything okay. else is 3 p.m. on the Saturday.
So those toilets that are on Mifflin there will be moved into place after we take over the street after the farmer's market.
Okay. Okay.
All the toilets will be staged on East Washington to begin.
Okay. And then they'll be moved in. And I'm sure you're aware of the new layout with that area because of the BRT station and available spacing.
Well aware of it.
Okay. So I think that was just my biggest question. We do have at least licensed and placed a food cart at the corner of East Wash, but they're on the sidewalk, and I don't think, I mean, they might need to, they would come in that way perhaps, but I don't think that your infrastructure setup would be an issue that they wouldn't be able to navigate around. And they're out at the normal time by 3 o'clock anyway. And then we'll have that Y closure up still at that point, which is the Wisconsin to West Wash Y closure until 2 is usually when I move those barricades off. But they will be in the area for just so you're aware, because they don't think that TE will pick them up to the following week. Other than that was just my question, was about the infrastructure setup, but that seems like it'll work pretty seamlessly.
All right, perfect. All right, who haven't I gotten to? Mark with Mall Concourse, do you have any questions or thoughts?
No concerns.
All right. And you guys provide your own trash and dumpster and all that good stuff, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. So let me see. I think I forgot somebody, but I need to look at my script. Caitlin with Capitol Police, who is not able to make it today, did indicate, she's fine with this, just to remind you to get your capital permit request in. And I think that's everybody. So I will share the draft permit. All right, this is the draft street use permit for Madison Marathon by Madison Festivals, Inc. Start is at Mifflin Street in Wisconsin on the Capitol Square. Half marathon, full marathon start at 7. The 10K approximately 7:15. Setup begins 8 a.m. on Saturday the 9th on the 102 block MLK. And East Wash, 100 East Wash. And then the rest of the square's setup starts at 3 p.m. after the farmer's market. The event is on Sunday starting at 7, and all the races should be done by 1:30, and cleanup streets reopen by 7 p.m. There's public amplification from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. Certificate of insurance is required and on file. We ask you notify the area alders. We'll ask you notify the Central Business Improvement District. We'll have you coordinate with Megan as needed. We ask you notify the businesses and residents on any of the closed streets. I'm going to add specific information for the 100 Black MLK with that ULI loading zone and stuff. But I think you're aware of that. Special event MPD staffing is required. We'll have you coordinate that with Lieutenant Hannah. The traffic management plan and equipment is to be implemented by an approved contractor. Parking enforcement will post signage and hood the meters. Special event resolution suspends vending restrictions and authorize sponsors to select event vendors and performers. Vendors relocated outside the designated perimeter of the event, licensed sidewalk cafes are exempt. Saturday market vendors may set up as usual and must be off by 3 p.m. Signage and staffing at the event is required, indicating no alcohol beyond this point. You must provide and maintain access to the AC Hotel, to the alley on the 100 Block of West Washington for the Grace Episcopal Church, and the Park Hotel on 10 South Carroll. There will be metro detours, and that is $100 per route. You must maintain your 20-foot emergency access lane and your AD accessible pathway, and no inflatables are allowed on city right-of-way, no permanent markings, and you are required to clean up. All right, any further discussion? Go ahead, Mark.
Oops. Sorry, I must have bumped it.
Okay, no problem. Any further discussion on Madison Marin? On the motion to approve, is there any objection to recording unanimous vote on item number 6? All right, seeing none, the motion passes. Thank you, Ryan. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you. Appreciate everybody.
All right. Agenda item number 7, legislative ID 85192, street use permit application for Run Santa Run. Let me recheck my registration. We have one registered speaker for this item. Brad Rogstad has registered in support and does wish to speak. Can I have a motion and a second for discussion and voting? Motion Megan, second Amy. All right, morning Brad. So you've registered to speak, so you can begin when you're ready.
Yeah, so a new location this year for Run Santa Run, moving away from the Capitol Square completely. Last year we had partnered with the Edgewater, which is where we finished the route. So we were trying to maintain that, but was starting somewhere else, not down on the square. So currently our route is on States and Park Street, and it heads north on Park and then takes Observatory west. And I'm trying to stay on some of the campus streets and paths as much as possible. And then it gets on the path to come back east, and then goes down Langdon to finish in front of the Edgewater. Once again, where all the Christmas decorations and post-race festival things will be on Saturday, December 21st, starting at 3 p.m. And it's a 5K. So the run itself would be wrapped up around 4:30 and clean up and get out of there by 6 or so.
Okay. And the start is on the State Street Mall. And then there's a little setup on the 700 Block as well. Are you selling merch?
No, we sell merch in advance, okay. And then just have a tent for people to pick up what they purchased ahead of time.
Perfect, because I don't think this is on the special event resolution either. When we get to Megan, we'll talk about if we need to relocate or if anybody will be out there on December 21st. So that's the other big change, is this is a little later. So the request is for Saturday, the 21st, December. So, okay, we'll just go through each agency. Julie with RISC.
Yep, a certificate's required, but we have one on file, so this is good to go.
All right. Jen with FIRE.
I don't think I have any questions at this time.
Okay. Jeremy, traffic engineer.
I think the route looks good. I did want to check in. I believe last year you didn't need any barricades in the city. I was curious about the same case for this year.
Yeah, that would be correct.
Okay, so you just make sure you don't need any barricades from us.
Yep, we do not need any.
Awesome. Sounds good. Let me know if anything changes, but I'll put you down and some barricades. Thanks.
Thanks.
All right, Tim with Metro.
For Metro Transit, I think we had discussed this offline. It's not entirely related to the city's permit, but just in general, if I can again confirm if on the UW campus, north of Campus Drive, that the Route 80 UW route would be able to go westbound on Linden below the route shown to Elm Street and would be able to make a left turn onto Observatory and go westbound through the back recreational facility area, if that rings a bell.
That is correct. When heading west on Observatory, we would go north on Elm, to go around the top side of the Near East Field, coming south on Willow, and then getting on the sidewalk from Willow to stay off of Observatory to allow those buses to flow through there. And we'd go behind that bus stop where the route turns north to go to the path. So we would not block anybody trying to, you know, wait for a bus at that location.
Yeah. So again, from a UW campus perspective, the full closure of Observatory would only be east of that Elm intersection heading back towards Charter Street, if that sounds correct, and down the hill to Park Street for that matter.
Yeah, we would really just be on the westbound side of Observatory.
Yep. But from a functional standpoint, that's where you're kind of in the street, but you will no longer be in the street west of Elm towards the side of your map. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Lieutenant Hannah, MPD.
No questions or concerns.
Okay. And is this
special, and special event?
Okay, thank you. let's see. Amy with parking.
Hi, Brad. Are you planning to have us involved with posting and towing for your event?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I'll just have you reach out to Taylor Dietzman offline and you guys can coordinate.
Will do.
Okay.
Thank you. Let's see. Mark with Mall Crew?
Just with this time of year, of course, with the possibility of snow, we would have machines possibly working in the library and mall, and streets would be on the route as well, but we'll have to wait and see.
Right. Alrighty. Let's see, Megan with vending.
We're struggling with the whole mute concept there. Generally speaking, we don't have any food carts out at that time and tend to not have any art and craft vendors either. So I'll just kind of keep my ear out for any of them that might be interested in going out if they are. And since it's not on the special event resolution, we would be just reorganizing where people are, but I don't foresee it being an issue at all. I can foresee, though, some of our TE or M permit holders wanting to be out, but they tend to have a little rolly cart and not infrastructure, no tents, and they tend to kind of shift around a fence or something like that. And it's really people expressing themselves, and they have site assignments there. So if you'd like me to give you a heads up of what those are and who might be out, I'd be happy to do that. But I doubt at this time of year there's going to be much of an issue, and I think it's worked in the past, so I don't foresee it being a challenge. Could you explain to me what PPU stands for, though? It's a large white box on your map, and I just don't know what PPU stands for.
That is the packet pickup.
Okay,
so where they pick up their bib and stuff.
Okay, and is that a tent as well?
Yeah,
or is that just a tables?
Is pop-up tent.
Okay. Yeah, it's larger than the others, looked square and like a 10 by 10. That one looks different. So that was just a question about infrastructure. So I'm aware of
Yeah, it's a couple of tents. Because there's a lot of stuff with this one, with three different character shirts and hats and things like that. So it's a couple of pop-ups.
Okay. Kind of like side by side.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll just kind of keep in touch. Maybe we can touch base like a week or two before the event, just to make sure that if there's anything on my radar or vice versa, to just keep each other in the loop about. But other than that, I don't, and I'm assuming on the application that one vendor is not an actual vendor. That's what you were referring to with pre-purchased items that are just.
Yeah. I'd emailed Kelly afterwards, realizing that I clicked that, but then I was like, wait, we're just distributing it. We're not. Yeah.
Perfect. That sounds all fine to me. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Jen, go ahead.
Sorry about that. Brad, can you just ensure, or what is your process? I see you're crossing over Lake Street. That's an access point for us. Should we have some type of like rescue call, ice call, that we would be able to have access for our crews to get on that street crossing?
Yeah, this is a fun run. It's not timed. So okay. We are more than able and willing to pause people to let emergency vehicles through.
Okay. And then have you reached out, just reading through it? I apologize. I was a little behind when I got called on. Have you reached out to Chief Crossan in regards to EMS services that are needed? Just kind of reading through your EAP, it looks like we were listed. Have you been in contact with him at all?
No, I filled out the form for the request. I just need to get that over.
Okay, perfect. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Let's see. I think that's all the impacted agencies. We'll go through the draft and then see if there's any further questions or thoughts. All right, this is the draft street use permit for Run Santa Run 5K. The requested date is Saturday, December 21st. A start location is State Street Mall. And the end location is Edgewater. And the start time is 3 p.m. and it should be done by 4:30. Public application from 2 to 4:30. We have indemnification for the city. Certificate of insurance is required and on file. We'll ask you to notify the area alders. It looks like I cut off some of this, but it's we'll ask that you notify the area businesses and residents on any closed streets. We'll ask you notify the business improvement district. Special event MPD staffing is required, so we'll have you work with Lieutenant Hannah to schedule that. Parking enforcement will post signage and meters, and organizer agrees to pay for those costs. Traffic management plan is to be implemented and provided by approved contractor. You must maintain access to Metro steps. Actually, that might not be true. On observatory, as determined by Metro, there will be, I believe, Tim, there is a detour, some detours.
There would be route detour stop closures involved with this. So if it's worth noting specifically, observatory west of Elm, all bus stops would need to stay open.
Okay.
But that's kind of detailed.
Okay. Got it. So there will be some detours. The event cannot displace licensed city vendors. Noise must be kept to a reasonable level. 20-foot emergency access lane must be maintained on the streets and State Street Mall. ADA accessible pathway must be maintained on sidewalks. No inflatables on city right-of-way. No permanent markings. And you're required to clean up. All right. Any further discussion on Run Santa Run? On the motion to approve, is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote on item number 7? All right, the motion passes. Thanks, Brad.
Thank you.
Okay, recent events. Let me know if anything I need to make note of for next year. We had the farmers markets. We have some Bree Stevens events. The YWCA block party, I did get some feedback from Taylor that they didn't post at the appropriate time. So there were some vehicles in there, so we can remind them next year that
they need to post by a certain time if they want it enforced. Jazz at 5. I think it was the last one last week. New location. Seems to be okay. We had the Salt Company kickoff at the Confluence. We did have a couple issues with just some people experience homelessness, left their bunch of stuff there. So, but we figured it out. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, and with the electrical outlets there, going forward, we should figure out if it's going to be supplied, because those outlets keep getting damaged and traffic engineering couldn't repair them. There was one outlet working, but for food carts, it's different. But with that in the middle of the 7-800, we'll have to figure out what we want to do with that.
Okay, and TE's indicated they're not going to fix it, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Which, you know, we have those downtown performance spaces there, and it just seems silly to offer those if there's no power. But anyways, Megan, go ahead.
Yeah, that was just going to be my comment was about those. And, you know, and the food carts, certainly, Mark, we can, and TE, we can certainly change who has access to electric. So we can do that on a regular basis. So maybe we should touch base about that. But, you know, I don't know if like that specific performance space, I know that the permits say like you might not have access to electric, but maybe that one gets identified as no access and you have to have a generator. And then the other ones, maybe it's available upon request or something. And that, I don't know if that means that they need to identify that, because they get them sometimes really quick. But the advent of battery powered amps is excessive and very available these days, because I see people amplified with battery powered amps all over the place right now. Although for a larger concert, that might not be what they're looking for, but
I'll set up a meeting with Megan, Mark, Jeremy, and myself to discuss this, because there's also, you know, because they can get these permits, like they basically can apply and they get the permit immediately. And so if they're getting a permit on a Saturday, for that Saturday, we don't have staff going to turn on the power if it does work. So we just might need to rethink the language around that. Like, you need to have a generator or anyways, we'll figure it out.
And there have been a lot of people popping up playing music amplified, and one individual that's been incredibly disrespectful and combative verbally, not physically by any means, but certainly using a microphone to express themselves and their displeasure with the requirement of getting a permit for the area, and kind of refusing to go. So I know that's something that I'm going to be bringing up at some other meetings in the near future, but that's for somebody out of compliance. But I know that there's a lot of demand, especially in the spring and fall, for that area as it relates to amplification and using that location.
Yep. And we're also kind of in communication with UW, because they've been asking about, you know, better notification system between the city and the UW for events that are in the State Street Mall and the Library Mall and have a lot of crossover. And then there's a lot of UW groups that get permits for the Library Mall but set up on State Street Mall. So we got a lot to figure out in this area.
They get told by me on a number of occasions, I'm continually moving them over to their proper location. And I don't know if it's working again with the UW to try and draw up some maps that have more clear lines of where those boundaries are that can better educate students, and maybe staff could have on hand to be able to give to them. That's like a partnership between the city and the UW that we can have available to hand and or send to students when they're thinking they're in the right spot but aren't there.
Yeah, I think that would help a lot. You know, if you want to be in this spot, this is what you need. If you want to be over there. Okay. So we had another UW home football game. We had Iron Man. Go ahead, Tim.
I did hear some secondhand like feedback from our operations staff. First, that to my knowledge, and Lieutenant Hanna, may have heard otherwise, or if you've heard as well, that our operations staff felt they had good communication with the officers stationed along the Ironman route. My understanding, however, is there were issues, at least maybe on North Bassett Street, that where the route was crossing on Dayton Street, a block after Johnson, barricades were being placed, closing Bassett Street a block away at Johnson Street. We're not, and the officer or officers down at Dayton were not able to get the buses through because the buses couldn't even get on to Bassett from Johnson. And so if there may need to be future discussion or coordination that where these barricades are going, not where the course is, but upstream of it, out of control of the officer at the impacted intersection, if Metro may need to have MPD assign and charge additional officers upstream to work barricades upstream of where the event is, if that makes sense.
I believe that that intersection was a problem because of that construction that's right there, if I'm not mistaken, that big apartment building or whatever they're doing. So I'm hoping that won't be an issue again. It did kind of limit some of our operations at that intersection. So we'll work on that. Hopefully it'll be done by next year.
No, and again, the second handing I was hearing was kind of, it was frustrating that all traffic was making that turn and kind of getting to the barricade down at Dayton. And it sounded like the event organizers decided to just avoid that annoyance, but did not then make accommodations for transit service that needed to get through there by moving that barricade as needed. So again, I understand we want to keep the general traffic out, but if that just means there'll need to be additional staff upstream moving additional barricades for the buses, again, because I guess Metro staff tried to stand there for a while to move the barricade, but it got moving back for every bus that came through there. So again, just that was my understanding.
Good to know. We'll work on that for next year. Thanks, Tim.
I'm assuming you said Megan Kelly, but you were muted. I just wanted to mention that I believe it was on that date. I don't have my Saturday notes for me, but I believe it was on the 7th of Ironman weekend. Because at start of service that day, or sometime near start of service at about 7:15, we had a bus drive up the 100 block of State Street. We were about to set all the art and craft vendors, and they were like, I think they had information about the Iron Kids, but didn't have the typical Saturday wide closure noted. And so we had a quick window conversation, and she said she was going to call in. And Tim, I can follow up with you with exactly what bus when I look at my notes. But it was, I believe it was the 7th on that Saturday morning at around 7:15.
No, it is something I think I raised when we were issuing these permits that, I mean, there's the whole thing in the ordinance about other events and activities, and issuing two events back to back does create complicating things where drivers are trying to do one detour or another detour. So again, if that's something that we need to consider when issuing back-to-back permits on the same day, if that's going to be an issue, we need to look at what we're approving. So thank you.
Yeah, I think that was a little, I think this is a quirky piece, Tim, because it's not back-to-back permits per se. It was the traditional Y closure we've been doing for safety, which isn't a street use permit. It's a traffic engineering. We're doing this Y closure every Saturday morning detour it seemed to me the driver was looking at the event rerouting, but didn't have noted the Saturday morning traditional Y closure, which we didn't change, which isn't a back-to-back permit. So I think it's just quirky, and has only happened twice this whole year where I've had seen a bus come up the 100 block, quickly realize that it's a Saturday morning Y closure for safety perspective, and have rerouted accordingly. But it was just happened to be Ironman weekend, which was also game day weekend and regular vending opportunity day. And there was just a lot of things going on. And with Ironman, Iron Kids, and then the half, I think it's like kind of was a big day of things. So I just wanted to acknowledge that, but they we didn't see another one after that. So they figured out what was going on pretty quick.
Yep, that makes sense. That again, we wanted to stay on the square for the Iron Kids, but they wanted us off for safety. So we had to have multiple detours at different times of the day. So.
Still muted. Okay, so Iron Kids. Greek Fest. We had an ice cream social. The Madison Night Market. September Night Market. And Mad Lit. I think I missed putting some on here, but that's all I got. Okay, so upcoming farmers markets. We have some parking requests. Monroe Street Festival is this Saturday. National Drive Electric is this Saturday, 100 Block MLK. We have the Fetch 5K Dog Jog this Saturday. Black on State is Sunday. Willie Street Fair is Saturday and Sunday. Badger Challenge is Sunday. We have Bree Stevens Field next Tuesday has a concert. Cheese Fair off the square the following Saturday on 100 MLK. They're actually closing this street Friday night. For Loden, we have Shelter from the Storm Stampede. Great Midwest Hemp Fest. I'll be sending you guys information today about this, but they are not using the Confluence. They're not going up State Street. They are going to be at James Madison Park. And they're paring it down quite a bit. Their original application had fencing and beer sales and multiple stages. So anyways, I'll send you guys that information. But as far as the street use team, they did get a parade permit to march, I believe, or they applied for one, to march from James Madison up to the square. On that Sunday, they say they're obeying traffic, staying on the sidewalks, and then they have a capital permit for the State Street corner. But everything else will be in James Madison Park. They're not selling beer. There's a lot of vending and one stage, but it's very pared down from what they originally were hoping for. So just look for that information, which I'll send later today. And then we also have Run Wild on that Sunday. And lots of block parties. Go ahead, Tim.
Again, just for the backup plan, James Madison, my recollection is the parade route in theory was going to be North Hamilton Street, across Gorham, across Johnson, and up to the square. But that otherwise buses on Johnson or Gorham crossing Hamilton would be obeying traffic signals, as would the parade, and buses on the square from North Pinckney left to East Mifflin would be obeying traffic signals. The parade would cross them at the North Hamilton corner. That sounds, yep. Thank you.
Everyone should be obeying, and they're only anticipating a couple hundred. Yep. So hopefully that's the case. Jeremy, did they apply for a parade permit? I feel like they did, or he told me they did.
I have to double check my list real quick. I'm not sure yet at the moment.
I guess. Hopefully they did. Okay. So that's all I got for today. Any further thoughts for the team? All right. Did I welcome Scott? I don't think I did, everybody. Scott, I'm sorry, Scott. Scott is our new streets person, taking over from Matt Scamardo. So welcome, Scott. okay, thanks. Oh, can I have a motion and a second for adjournment? Motion Megan, second Tim, and the motion to adjourn. Is there any objection? Okay, meeting adjourned. Thanks, everyone.